You are in webinar number two, the Eat Well, Move Well, Think Well health webinar series. First thing I always like to honor is thank you very much for your time, for your attendance tonight. I know it is the most valuable asset that you have. It's a great gift to me. I really appreciate it. Thank you. From the first night, you and your buddy have been assigned. I hope that you guys have already begun exchanging emails, contact information, starting to work on, talk about the things that we did both in our introductory seminar, webinar, and our first one, which was Think Well. Tonight is the second in the series. It is the Eat Well night, and then we'll finish after the holidays of Thanksgiving. So 2 weeks, we'll do the Move Well portion. But I hope you guys are started, and it's exciting, and it's something new for you to focus on. And I'm looking forward to see where you guys go with it. Now, if there's any new people on tonight and you have not assigned your buddy yet, text Brian in the text box, raise your yellow hand. He can communicate, will be communicating with you offline and let him know that either you don't have a buddy, you've reached out to your buddy and have found, hadn't got a return call, whatever you need to do, that we can support this. And in the form of that communication tonight, I want it to be really active and fun and lively. Let's really enjoy ourselves because, like always, I know I'm going to challenge some really deep truths that you've held your whole life about what nutrition is, what it means, and of all the things that are going on in our world right now, the field is changing so rapidly. There is so much craziness going on. And there's pros out there and cons on virtually every topic. And I'm not trying to tell you tonight that I'm the be-all, end-all, but I will tell you this. I research this constantly. So, for example, I'm going to show you an excerpt. I sorted my October inbox. I want you to look at something. This is just a sort. You can see from Wednesday of October 22nd, this is all I could get the screenshot in, to October 1st. Look at all the articles that, and this is the ones that I found of interest that I cut and paste and put into a format that allows me to reference everything that I do has referencing, has cross-referencing, and I'm constantly building, testing theories. Looking at the latest in data, what's out there, what studies have come in. I'm smart, you're smart. Health is an incredible value. So for those of you that have done deep client work, we do the top five towards values that you want. My number one towards value is health, because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. You can have love, money, you can have everything. If you don't have your health, when you're not feeling well, you don't have anything. So being very conscious of health, being very focused on health, it's absolutely critical that you, if you're not doing this already, I'm going to ask you to examine the fact that you are researching and how much. Are you doing it a little bit or a lot of it? Are you floating along? And in everything that the inevitable do you have inevitable you does, are you doing it as old you or new you? In Windows 61 software or in what's about to become Windows 15 software? So you got to get smarter. You got to make up your mind and you've got to look through all this research and make decisions for yourself. Now, it's great that you're on this call tonight because I'm going to shortcut a lot of things. I'm going to point you in some great areas to look at research. I'm going to give you some of my conclusions, but I'm going to point out to you where perhaps my conclusions may not be the same as yours. And I'm always okay with whatever conclusion you draw, as long as it's the new you, upgraded overall the psychology that we went through last week on our first webinar, the Think Well Psychology, that is the software that's doing this evaluation. So we've got a lot to cover tonight. You've heard me before in other seminars talk about, you know, the old theory that it's an inch wide and a mile deep, or vice versa. It's a mile deep and or mile wide and an inch deep. You know, we're going to be in the wide shallow tonight because we've got so much to cover, and I want to give you some sense of all the different areas that may be impacting your health that's out there. So let's get to it. Remember, ask great questions, stop me, challenge me, raise your hand, Brian will call on you. We'll get you mic unmuted and get you into the call if you have anything. Now again, if you've done work with me before, you know one of the things I like to do is always ask for great introduction, something, some sign, something, article to appear, something to pop into my life. Well, it's not lost on me, the irony, that tonight, you could probably hear it in my voice, I've been battling a bug for the better part of a week, and I'm very rarely sick. I think probably the last time I had a bug was maybe 4 years ago. I'm very proud of my health. But the question I want to ask, and this is why this is a great introduction, do you think that I feel like, with my elevated temperature, a little bit of sinus drainage, raspy sore throat, do you think I'm sick? Most people do. Most people say that I'm sick. But in the inevitable you, in this new you software, here's what I'm going to tell you. I am at the peak of my health. And this is one of my little popular little ways to look at things that I do in introduction and other seminars and trying to give people the sense that NLP and how you look at things and looking at things differently create different realities for you. Always ask this question. You know, let's say in the city of Denver, where we are tonight, if there is this big sewage system and it's pumping out sewage and effluents and toxins and waste are flowing out of the system, do you think that you would ever want to try and plug the pipe, the outtake pipe, and back all the sewage into the sewage treatment plant and not let it out? And of course, you go, well, no, you wouldn't. That's like really, really stupid. But think about this. The two biggest sewage systems that you have, and if you've never thought of it this way, tonight's a great night to be thinking about this. Your lymph system is the sewage system. And the biggest lymph gland nodal collections are in your armpits, just under your armpits. And one who most people do with their armpits is they put aluminum sulfate in there and plug their pores. And they back up the sewage into their body. And then anytime they forget their deodorant, they go, oh, well, I smell so bad. Well, yeah, you unplug the pipe and the sewage plant's backed up for days and days and days. Of course, it's going to overflow and smell worse than it normally does. But then you got to ask yourself, well, if I'm plugging the sewage plant, where does the sewage go? Ah, very interesting question. I want someone at the end of the call tonight, when I open it up for final Q&A, ask me about that. But in the same vein, if you are sick, what's really happened is in the winter when you tend to get more flus and bugs and viruses, do you think in the summer that all those flus, bugs, and viruses go on summer vacation and they're not anywhere around? Or do you think because it is warm, there is more light, there is more movement in your body in the summertime, that your immune system is in better shape? And so it's beating those bugs badly in the summertime. But when the reverse happens in the winter, when it's cold, when you're shivering, when you don't have as much sunlight, and you're in the darkness, and you're not moving as much, your movement is down, your immune system is weakened. It's like any other muscle, any other system in your body, it functions better with stress. And when it's not moving, it's not growing, it's not being healthy, exercised in the winter, when you tend to get sick, and now that reverses and the bugs and the viruses are winning, what your immune system does is goes into DEFCON 1 and starts dumping toxins and waste in every orifice and through every fluid system it can go. So your pits smell worse. Your breath gets bad. You vomit. You have diarrhea. You sweat. You have sinus drippage. And what do most people do when that happens? They take Sudafed. They block it. They take Kaopectate. They block it. They put more deodorant on. They block it. They block it everywhere. And it only makes the sickness last longer. When I get sick, I realize if I had an important sales call today, for example, I might have taken Sudafed to get through the meeting. But the minute the meeting is over, I am rooting. I am cheering. I am truly happy that my immune system, what other people call sick, I'm saying it's a peak health. Because trust me, it's getting rid of toxins and gunk in very unpleasant ways in the last day or two. So for my introduction today, as we begin to think about this, that the irony of what is well versus what is sick, you're going to see a lot of things flip today. Some of it, you know, it's been around for years. I mean, how long have we known that margarine is terrible for you? And they're back to saying butter. And I think every person on the planet knows that. That's been out for 15 years. Heck, Oreo cookies stopped using the same fundamental base hydrogenated oils that are in margarine. Oreo cookies figured this out 8 years ago. And then I'll find somebody goes, well, I still use margarine. You put a tub of margarine in your trunk, winter, spring, summer, fall for a couple of years, get it out of your trunk, it's still margarine. It doesn't change. Your body doesn't see it as food. It sees it as an invader. It activates the immune system to fight the long molecular chains because it is not food. So like a lot of things, we're going to flip them upside down. Now, having done the introduction, let me ask you this question. When you think of eating well, you know, what do you think of? Now, most people go like, oh, you know, that's eating good foods, you know, not eating bad foods, you know, portion control. I mean, you know what it looks like for the most part. Most of you, well, now because we've got a more healthy audience on this call, most of the population knows what eating well is, but doesn't. So that's why we started last week with Think Well, because we got to start wiring the new software and the new psychology. So I want you to think about eating well tonight is going to be in new thoughts and not the old thoughts, because the old thoughts are going to be connected to old information. And we're going to be helping you understand what's old, what's still good, because some of the old is still great information. It's just you most likely, or the uneducated, or someone who's not really, really fighting to stay on the cutting edge of this, you just don't take the time, have the time, do the time to know the difference. You can't say that after our call tonight. Now, the old expression, what you don't, let me get a drink of water. Egads. My tongue is very tricky tonight. The old expression, what you don't know won't hurt you in this arena, because what we're going to teach you about health is absolutely critical. What you don't know, if you're still following it, it's absolutely a killer. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. First of all, to give you a sense of why this is my life work, I've been studying health for my entire life. Sometimes intuitively and consciously, sometimes unconsciously. You know, I've been blessed. I've run into mentors when I least expected it. You know, I had a great coach in 1972. I want you to think about 1972 for anybody that can remember back that far. You might have to get into the history books if you can. 1972, heavy weightlifting was a no-no. Football teams, wrestling teams, they didn't want you heavy because they said, oh, it's going to bind you. Ooh, you're going to lose flexibility. That's not what athletes did. Yeah, well, I had a coach that said no. And in seventh grade, man, he had me pounding on heavy, heavy weights. All the way through high school, I lifted. I lifted with some great guys. Going into high school, I was very big and very strong, but I was also very slow. For those of you who know statistics, I was running my 40-yard dash in about 5 seconds. So I went out while all my buddies who weren't lifting and weren't working out were at the pool hanging out with the cheerleaders and the good-looking girls, and I'm off with the high school decathlon champion, and I was Phil. I'm slow. He put me on a running workout. I mean, again, back in those days, we were doing duck walks. You didn't have water during 2-a-days because that was considered weakness. So, you know, kids are passing out from dehydration, and those were the weak ones. You know, you have to ask yourself, well, what am I doing today? Duck walking and dehydration today that 15, 20, 30 years from now, you're going to be older and on a webinar. Your kid's going to be on a webinar and going, man, you know what my dad did back in 2014? He was eating margarine because he thought that was what he was supposed to do. So I worked all summer and I got my 40-yard dash down to a 4.6. And I still got some pool time in and a whole lot more. I want you to look at a really intense period for me in 84 to 94. I was always big. I was in the military. I was about 235 back in the military days. On average, I ran about 60 miles a week. I was in an elite unit. In 84, when I got out of the service, went into the corporate life, I wasn't running 60. I was probably running 15, 20. Developed horrible, horrible Achilles issues. And the best thing I ever got told was, you're too big. You shouldn't be running. I was like, I was big a year ago and I ran fine. Well, you're too old. No, there's a cause. Something's going on. In 91, I had major surgery on both of my tendons. And at that point, I was still fairly conservative. Even though I was doing things that was taking me out there, I was still fairly conservative. So for the 10 years, I was going to orthopods. I even went to a podiatrist because I heard, well, your Achilles tendon became impacted by your feet. I was studying. I was researching. When I came here in 94, I'm like, I'm all excited. I'm going to go to the Olympic Training Center. I took a file down that was probably 2 inches, 3 inches thick. Heck, honest to goodness, this is the orthopod for the Olympic Training Center. He's a smart guy and he's a doctor and smarter than me. But I'll tell you what, he did not know the latest research on Achilles tendons. So he wanted to put me in a cast in 94. Well, you're, man, this is inflamed. You got horrible tendonitis. I'm like, I know. Help me. He couldn't. I ran into Dr. Blake, an applied kinesiologist, and really began in 94. And just to finish that little chapter, I walk in and he's a chiropractor. I'm like, oh, great. Because at that point in my life, I'd never been to a chiropractor. I'm like, oh, great. What are you going to do? Crack my back and heal my tendon? Well, as an applied kinesiologist, he said, well, look, if you need to leave, I understand. But I can help you. Give me 15 minutes. And here's what he told me, that 7 years of the best orthopods in Chicago, the Olympic Training Center. He said, you know, when your brain talks to the Achilles calf complex, there's only one other stop on that neurological highway of communications. So the Achilles trying to tell the brain what nutrients it needs and what it needs for repair. The brain's trying to tell it. It goes through one other stop. It's not an express train. It has one other stop. Stops at your adrenal glands. My adrenal glands were shot. I was an executive. I was in the business world. I'm a fast-moving guy. Drinking a lot of caffeine, a lot of sugar. Burning, burning, burning my life. Dr. Blake said, give me about a month. I'm going to fix your adrenal gland and your calf and Achilles will heal themselves naturally, which they did. And that's when I was like, man, I'm on to something. And with Dr. Blake, I now do work and know a guy named Phil Moffitone, Robert Williams, Mercola. If you don't know that, that's going to be on a link that comes out to you tonight. And the notes, Dr. Mercola. Again, some of this stuff is incredibly controversial. I'll show you some of the things from Mercola. Here is a Mercola, how to lose weight, identifying hidden sugars in your body. 5 surprising facts that make you pack on pounds. Here's all of Mercola's research. This is just a screenshot. There's almost 7 pages of screenshots on GMO research alone. If you are not studying and making your own decisions up on GMO, part of me wants to say shame on you, shame on old you. I know why you're not, if you're not, because it's confusing. There's so much out there. But let me tell you something. There are billions of dollars at stake, and very few of those dollars are at stake for your benefit. They are at stake for businesses that have business drivers, and they have good people in the industry, but the industry itself is severely broken. And I'll get into it a little bit more tonight, but the point is, there is, in my health journey, a whole host of people that I think are way smarter than I am, and they've done a great job in educating me. Probably one of the most pivotal ones, you may know, I spent 6 years working for Tony Robbins. His day 4 of his pivotal Unleash the Power is a health challenge, because he says no matter how great you are, if you don't have your health, and it's not even health, it is energy, it is vitality, it is health, then you can't do all these great things you just learned on the firewalk. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later tonight. So the old me was conservative-ish, but I really am out on the front of this. And so when we think about what is food, what is nutrition, for most people it's emotion. For other people it's fuel. So when you look at who am I and how do you make one true versus the other, well, obviously, most of you would say, well, I want food to be fuel because I'll find a healthier way to meet my emotional needs. And then tomorrow, when you have a stressful Friday and you go eat Twinkies, we know that, like a lot of things that happens, these are not necessarily hard and fast truths. These are things we say that we want, but we're not congruent in our actions. So again, go back and look at the Think Well a week ago. We talked a lot about that. But in this arena of really beginning to reclassify food as fuel, I'm not going to spend as much time tonight because I did a lot of the groundwork for that in the Thinking Well. Because a lot of what thinking well about your health is, how you think is how you manage your emotions. But go into the science that it is fuel. This is really a knife in the socket moment. This is when the okay. This is when the away is okay. You've got to yell, stop. Don't put the knife in the socket. And if you don't know what that tool is, that's a great tool. Write us tonight. We'll send you the Towards and Away video. It's under the pour the milk carefully command side of that. This is when the away is okay. It's mandatory. You got to stop some of these old behaviors. And so when you're journaling, and this is a reference for you to journal, as you write tonight, as you take notes, when you get your homework, when you and your buddy discuss, well, is food fuel for us? Or is it emotions? You're going to see that, oh, food has love attached to it. It's happy. You know, when sometimes the rest of your life is not, you may be stressed out at work, you may be having all kinds of difficulty. another drink of water. But you go home tonight, tomorrow night, the next night, and while you can have a bad day, food always brings on good memories. Food for a lot of people is procrastination. Should be working on something. I think I'll go make myself a snack. You know, it might be good memories. This is one of my most favorite all-time memories of my life. My mom, bless her heart, she's not with us any longer. But we used to go every Saturday morning when I was a kid and go get our awesome groceries. And we'd make these great bologna sandwiches. And we always played this game where we guessed what the grocery bill was. She always let me win. At the time, I thought I was just smarter than her. I now know she was letting me win. The winner got a candy bar. You know, I have so many great memories attached to food or social experiences. So it just takes a second in an old song on the radio that you say food, think food, mention food, or I'm wrestling with the other psychology of my life. And all of a sudden, food, it's just great, great memories. And so you're substituting a physical fullness in the core of your body when the emotional's not so full. You'll bring all of this stuff out in journaling. So at least you're aware of it. And now you can begin to write new software and new strategies to track this eating, track these feelings. And then here's one of the most common things that people discover. You may not even know this, or maybe you've known this and you forgot it. A lot of times people think they're hungry. In this day and age, they're dehydrated. And even if you go get coffee, caffeine is a dehydration agent. So even though you're putting fluids in your body, caffeine makes you urinate faster. So you think you have fluids, you're actually dehydrating your body. And when you get dehydrated, rather than being a dry mouth, when it's like, oh, I'm running, I know I'm dehydrated, you'll mistake hunger for it. You will catch those kinds of things in your journal. So that's a little plug. Make sure that you're working on it and doing it at a high rate. Make sure you and your buddy are talking about it. Now, on this continuing historical journey, one of the first people that I also began to study on under Blake, if you don't have this book, Heal Yourself, I have four books sitting next to my chair in my client room. In essence, Luis L. Hayes, almost 50 years ago, said, everything that's happening in your body has a corresponding, she called it mental, I call it software. So if you have a sore thumb, sore lower back, a flu, warts, you know, Achilles tendon, she will equate it to a thought, a psychological pattern. She'll tell you what the connection is, and she will give you the new thought that you're going to incant and affirm and work on. I cannot tell you how many times clients come in and in the real-time check-in, they'll go, oh, you know, my knee's really bothering me. We go look up the knee right there. Again, it's one of four books that I have sitting right by my desk, by my chair. Look up a knee, they go, oh, man, yeah, that is going on. 9 times out of 10. And anytime you can get 9 times out of 10, because I don't think anything is 100% true 100% of the time, particularly in this world, because there's subconscious things going on. That's why if people say, well, do you believe Luis L. Hayes? Do you believe David Hawkins? Power versus force. Do you believe these things? I'll go, to a point. Some have more power than others. But you'll discover it in your journaling. You'll discover it when you calibrate this content. You'll discover it as you start to make changes tonight, tomorrow, from this call. And you'll make a change. And then you're going to track, did the change have an effect? And if it didn't have effect, move on. Store it. Might be good for somebody else. Maybe there's another causality in front of it that you got to come back to. Continuing in this genre of how did this evolve over the time? You know, you'll hear people, you'll see the disease there has a nice little hyphen, dis-ease. Again, I think everybody has seen that or knows that. And perhaps I'm right. Another big drink of water. Or perhaps I'm not. But much of what we know about disease is it's not a thing. It's a lack of health. And it is dis-ease that's taking place. When you think of one of the, and I'm not going to spell it right, I don't think, Ayurvedic. I'll be close. It is. It's even older than Chinese medicine. It's the oldest health. Notice I say it's not sickness. The oldest health system on our planet. They don't do any medicine. You know what they say is medicine and Ayurvedic treatments? Food. All of their dis-ease, they treat with food. So as you begin to look differently, you know, go to the heart. There is a great book out there called Heart's Code. This is Dr. Paul Purcell. And he started 30 plus years ago working with heart transplant patients. Again, I don't have time to go. This is a book that I cover in practicum. We spend 4 hours on and you read the book. Unbelievable. The heart is not just a mechanical pump that's pumping blood. It is a storage device for energy, life force energy, electromagnetic energy. It stores information. You won't hear a Western medical doctor, you won't hear a cardiologist tell you this. It stores information. So when you start to look at heart disease, it is not a disease, it is a malfunction, dysfunction in the communication system. And if you don't know that, cancer, and I want to be really tender. I don't want to honor who you are, where you are, what your family is up to. Maybe you've had cancer. Maybe a loved one has had cancer. Cancer, for everything that's going on in Western medicine, in essence, because NLP always gives us another way to frame what's taking place. While I understand the symptomatology that Western medicine is doing with how it looks at cancer, how it's trying to turn genes on and off, how it's trying to do what it's doing. In essence, cancer's a massive communication failure. The number one imperative that a cell must have before it does anything is to reproduce. Now, healthy cells reproduce according to this massive unconscious maestro. There is an orchestra of 75 trillion cells in your body. And they're listening to the maestro and they're reproducing when they're supposed to. They're following the music. They're listening to the baton. If all of a sudden they can't hear the maestro, and picture your cell down there with its hand to its ear going, huh, what, what, huh? Absence any communication from a command and control system, it goes to its first imperative. It begins to reproduce. And cells reproducing out of control not only create the tumor, because reproduction takes priority in the energy system, they're also sucking all the energy and the nutrients of the body at that point. So the blood, the oxygen, everything's fueling and feeding the tumor growing out of control. That's another way to think about cancer. And it's also another way to give you a basis that if you want to use an alternative form, to do it with confidence and to do it with a belief system, because you're going to use some alternative treatments, not because they're against chemo and radiation, but because they're going to reconnect the maestro in the communication system. I was actually at a big EMS convention, you might know, in Keystone now 2 weeks ago. I asked a handful of nurses there, have you ever heard of epigenetics? Have you heard of epigenetics? Most people say, no, I haven't. I did a 3-day retreat 3 years ago on this topic. It is changing the field. Epi is the Greek word for above, genetics. meaning it's the next evolution of genetic science. Again, Western medicine, and Western medicine fuels communication. So they pay for the American Journal of Medicine. They pay for, they fuel the political systems, their contribution. Do you realize in Florida, and this is almost, 8 years ago, in the United States, there is not one state, school, college, or university system that teaches chiropractic medicine. They're all private. Why? Why you should be outraged. In Florida, 8 years ago, there was an elected congressman who was a multi-billionaire. He donated $40 million to Florida State University to start the first chiropractic school. The Florida State Congress, the legislation down there, passed a law, made FSU give the money back because Western medicine says chiropractic medicine is heresy. It's false. It's BS. Oh my goodness, it is not. Some practitioners, just like some Western medicine doctors, are bad. The science itself, I'd love to have this debate with you. If you're not doing chiropractic, and we're going to do more next webinar on alignment, absolutely massively key to your health, that your body, your energy systems, your nervous systems, your neurological are in alignment. And there's a lot going on in epigenetics that's blowing Western medicine out of the water. But Western medicine is suppressing it. And if you were to go look for an article today, brand new, if you've never heard it, you go to Wikipedia. Well, here's always the bad news and good news about Wikipedia. Some of it's good, some of it's not. And how are you supposed to know? One, because you're going to, like me, develop a network of experts that you trust. And two, even out of tonight, you should always be triangulating information. I love nothing more to get two experts, and I'll interview them together, or I'll call this guy or girl on the phone and get an answer, and I take that to B. Then I take that back to A, and then I'll go back and forth as often as it needs until I'm satisfied that I've drawn a conclusion. I don't listen to just one or the other, as you should not just blindly listen to me tonight. Test what I'm telling you. So many common myths, and there's an oppressive array of opponents on both sides of the truth, are funding their point of view. And the tragedy is two things. We're going to do the media in the moment. The government is perhaps one of the biggest stakeholders. And there's some things the government does pretty darn good. National defense, they do well. They do a road system pretty well. You can get into the politics of whether they're doing Social Security or healthcare well, but there's a lot of things they're absolutely abysmal at. So anytime the government is a stakeholder, that bears, in my opinion, extra scrutiny. So anything the government's telling you, you got to look behind and decide, is it really an unvarnished truth, or even truth as they know it? Or is there politics? Is there suppression? Is there waiting to one side of the issue or the other? I'll just tell you right now, there is uneven weighting of alternative health care to traditional health care. Traditional health care has a whole lot more money to it. So if you want to be part of the inevitable you drive for greatness, you've got to really go out and find these different things. So let me give you some evolving truths as to what that means and what we know. Another big drink of water. In the 40s, we know there was a big, big push. People said fat is bad. And so when they took fat out of our food system, there were so many awful consequences. First of all, that is not true. The real, and again, this is NLP, bad fat is bad. Good fat, on the other hand, and the government in the 40s didn't differentiate that. Good fat, on the other hand, is freaking awesome. You want and can have as much healthy fats as you want. But what happened as an unintended consequence, because food tasted horrible when we took fats in, that was the rise of sugar in the form of corn syrups and fructoses and different ways that they put artificial sweeteners back into the food supply. That's where the sugar addictions began. And to this day, there is still this massive, massive obesity that we're contending with, in part because sugar is one of the most toxic in the quantities that we're consuming today. In 1908, the average 40-year-old person, by the age of 40, which would be a 40-year-old person, had consumed around 400 pounds of sugar in total over their whole life in 1908. So our pancreases have been built to handle that amount of sugar. The average person in 2008, you know how much sugar the average person consumes by the age of 40? This should make you weep, because your children are going to be even worse. They're eating on average 6 tons. That's why the early onset of diabetes, that's why pancreases can't process that much sugar. And it goes all the way back to when the government said fat is bad and it came into the system. So as a great, for instance, and again, to this day, it just surprises me that people don't know this. You may know that cream, or half and half as we call it, it's very rich, it's high in calories, and it's got zero carbs. Now, most people will not eat cream because they go, oh, high in calorie, high in fats. I'm not a high fat person. I want you to understand something that's really, really fascinating. When you go to whole milk, it has a small amount of carbs in it, you know, depending on the serving size. When you go to 2%, carbs are going up. Where does carbs come when you're taking fat out? Because you look on the label of milk, there's no sugar or anything added, right? And then when you get to skim milk and, you know, no fat milk, the carbs are really, really high. And you're going to discover back in the 40s, the dairy industry made a secret deal with the government that's in place to this date. They don't have to label the fact they put sugar in milk. When they take the fat out, in order to make it taste good, the more the fat comes out, the more the sugar goes in. And when you start drinking, instead of a skinny latte, and you have less calories, but you drink a Breve latte or a latte made with cream, first of all, a smaller amount of milk tastes amazing. And the fat is a healthy fat that's in half and half cream. And you're not getting carbs. That's why Atkins diets, which are no carbs for years, have advocated cream and not milk. And that's why. These are things that the average person does not know. Are you aware? This is now almost 2 years ago. There was a letter sent to Congress. Now, I want you to ponder this. This is beyond startling, that 100 general and flag officers from all of the services, the Army, the Navy, 100 of them signed a letter that said obesity is the number one threat to national security. Not the global war on terror, not the Chinese, obesity. Because the young soldiers they're getting out of society today have too low a fitness to make it into the military, and they urged Congress to do something 2 years ago. Now, I said I'd mention the media. Do you think the media reported that to you? You know, take out the political biases. I'm not positioning the media as left wing or right wing or you know, whatever it is. What I will tell you is it's lost objectivity to report the both sides of anything. Because if it was reporting both sides of this, it would give you the Western view of our food and our food supply. It'll give you the Western side of GMO, but it also would give you the other side. That's what news did a long time ago. It doesn't do that anymore. So even if you are a consumer of news, you have to be very careful where that news is coming from and that you're availing yourself to both sides of this debate. Continuing on here. And in the wild, wild west of the internet, God, anything goes. I love the little internet slide. I was going to put it in tonight, but I'll just tell it to you. It's a great little slide. It's from Abraham Lincoln. He's the one that made this quote. It's troubling to me that over 85% of what you read on the internet is not true. Now, hopefully you chuckled at that. It's intended to be ironic, but when you see something posted in the internet, so we're getting bombarded with more news. What used to be trusted news, Walter Cronkite or a national newspaper chain that would be known for giving you an unbiased both sides of a story, you got more information and it's almost less reliable. Again, just another point to emphasize that you have to absolutely work. There is a reason why I have all these articles in my inbox, and it's only the ones from October 1 to the 22nd, because my health for the TIY community is massively important to me. So in the time we have remaining, let me go through some high-level trends that you just absolutely, you got to make your own opinion up about these things. Timing of meals. For instance, you'll see stuff out there that says calories are calories. A calorie at a night. No. It's different. It's a heavy calorie. A calorie in the... There's research on both sides, but here's what I'm going to tell you. For instance, in your journal, does caffeine have an impact on you? I have people say, oh, I can drink caffeine before I go to bed. No problem. Other people say, I can't drink caffeine past noon. I'll be awake all night. Some people go, oh, I can go to 2:15 in the afternoon. If it's 2:16, I can't do it. So the caffeine impact, just like the timing of your meals, there is a difference for most people, not all people, as to when they're eating their meals, when they're eating heavy meals. You want to study trends on food combining. For instance, you do not mix protein with fruit and sugars. When your stomach releases enzymes and begins to digest sugars, those are mostly basic and alkaline. When it releases enzymes to process meat, that's acidic. These two cancel each other out. You have a poor digestive. You do not maximize food when you're eating heavy protein, with a high glycemic food like fruit. There's probably 6 to 10 really important principles. If you're not and you're struggling with the diet and you think there's times when you're eating really well and sometimes you have success and sometimes you don't, what you're going to discover is when you look at how you're combining food, there'll be sometimes you're doing it well and you're energizing, maximizing nutritional value and you feel great. And then there's going to be other times you're not and you're eating food and you're hungry and you're starving and you go, why? Well, now we've got timing, we've got combining. Moving into another arena. If you've not ever done a cleanse or a detox process, highly, highly, highly recommend you do this. There's all different kinds of ways to do it. You can do 3 days. You can go to like a Whole Foods or a health food store, get a prepackaged. You know, I like to do one that's called MetaClear. There's all different kinds out there. You do 9 days. Once a quarter, I do a 3 day. Once a year, I do a 9 day, as an example, complete cleanse and detox. You're stopping poisoning. Poisoning comes from the food supply. It comes from deodorants. It comes from toxins and cleaning products. When you start studying this, you're going to be shocked at ways that you poison yourself. And what happens if you're in a poisonous environment, your body will produce extra fat. First of all, it tries to get it out through urination, defecation. It's trying to get rid of it. When it can't, it stores it in fat. And a lot of times, particularly when you do your first cleanse, I'd recommend at least 6 days, because your body takes 2 or 3 days to go, are you really done poisoning me? Maybe your poison is gluten. Maybe it's a cleaning product. Maybe it's your deodorant. Maybe it's sugar. You're going to look at stopping. Then you're going to start to detox and your body's going to dump all this fat where the most dangerous toxins are stored. And then you're going to begin a rejuvenation and healing process. And then when you go back to having, it's not like you have to eat like a monk and never have sugar. It's once you start to get these tipping points to your body in better shape that you're able to better able sustain yourself to do these kinds of things. Now, someone's always favorite topic, colonics or hydrotherapy. Again, a lot of Western medicine will tell you it's quackery. It's not been proven. Hey, but they'll also sell you that cell phones by your head don't cause cancer either. Never been proven. Yeah, colonics work. When you go study, and again, it might be at the 90% level, meaning 10% of you do not have good experiences when you do a colonic. But going in and cleansing the colon from the other side, I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of health benefits that you want to regulate and look at. All I'm going to say about GMOs, because we could probably spend a whole 3-hour seminar tonight, and I've already told you, you'll get this in the OneNotes after this webinar. There's article after article after article on GMOs. Here's when I'll just cut to this chase and I'll tell you, GMOs are bad. Anything that's not a natural food, the body views as an invader. For instance, I can do muscle testing. I've done this over and over again with clients. The medical practice will tell you aspartame or NutraSweet. No medical studies say that it causes cancer or does anything. I can physically show you, not even on your tongue, just get a packet near your body. Your body weakens, because when it gets near your body, it recognizes the energy signature and it goes into full autoimmune distress. Now, again, when you start to study GMOs, on one side, there's people saying, oh, that's why all the bees are dying.
On the other side, people saying, that's not proven. We don't know that. So, will there be a day, just like margarine went from being good to bad, will there be a day that GMOs might actually turn out to be okay? I'm not ruling that out as a possibility, but am I willing to risk my health that Monsanto and the government's looking out for me when I can avoid it, when I can? There's just some common sense things about this that you really, really got to dig into. Blood type diets basically says, for example, blood type A is a great vegetarian. Blood type O is a big meat eater. Tons of research on either side. Personally, I've done the research. I believe in blood type diets. It explains a lot of things. But as we fly through 1 hour content tonight, you might pick that as the first thing you want to research in these trends. You might pick that 10th. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Somewhere down the road, you want to look into this. Call me, write me, and say, Bill, I want to know more about what you know about blood type. Again, you're going to get a number of links and references on this material at the end of the call as well. Very, very important. The whole explosion of allergenic foods. Am I a celiac or am I allergic to gluten? New studies coming out on one side saying all of this, you know, supposed gluten-free allergies is not true. Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. This is so important to me. I sell this. If you need more information, this is a state-of-the-art blood test. It will test you. And unlike even your Western immunologists, it will take, the pinpricks on your skin and do allergy tests that way. What the ALKET does is look at five immune markers, cortisol. Takes your blood, you're going to send off four tubes of blood to Florida, and it looks for five immune system markers. And it divides food into four categories. It's safe and good. It's mildly allergic, meaning I should only have it once every 4 days. It's moderately allergic, meaning I should have it once every month. And then a severe allergy I should never have. When I did my first LCAT a couple of years ago, I lost 25 foods. Some of them, like I had a severe allergy, of all things, to romaine lettuce. Now, my daughter, Isabella, took the ALKET at the same time. She's fine on romaine. My body was severely allergic, never knew it. I came out great on chicken, allergic to pork. She came out allergic to chicken, good on pork. This is going to be as unique as a fingerprint for you. Again, as you really look at high health, look at something like this. I highly recommend it. So we're right on our hour. It's 7:05. Let me open it up to questions. I know we didn't really do a great job Q&A-ing along the way. But let me see what questions and comments that you guys have for tonight.
I think Bill has our first question, so his mic is open.
Hey, Bill. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I was real interested when you were talking about the AK doctor. I forget the name of the A, but it helped you with your Achilles heel?
Yes.
Applied kinetics. Okay. Or
kinesiology. And kinesiology is a medical term. It's a term in physical therapy. It's the word, but it's not that. It's a capital A, capital K. It is a sub-branch of chiropractic medicine. Been around since the late 50s.
When are you doing December or February leadership?
February.
You could see Dr. Blake while you're here, or if you want, because I've done this very, very successfully, I'll ask him for, you're in Austin, right?
Yeah.
I'll ask him for a reference of who he knows in Austin. Dr. Blake is one of the leading foremost authorities in the world on AK. He's twice president, twice international president of the Applied Kinesiology College. Brilliant man. He knows virtually everybody. If you want, I can get an AK in Austin for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. And how many visits to him did it take to come up with that information?
15 minutes.
Okay, because I'd also probably like to meet with him when I come.
Yeah, his first initial consult, the double session, they're 20 minutes, and a double is 40 minutes. But in 40 minutes, he'll scan your whole body, tell you things you don't even know. I've literally referred 300 plus of my clients to Blake over the years. Universally beloved, epic, amazing stories. I can tell them to you offline. Anything else tonight, Billy? Have a good one. Thanks. Brian.
Well, Kathy recommended that Bill should research adding a lot of multiple vitamin Bs for his neuropathy. And she also has a question, too.
So go ahead and open her mic. Bill Carlisle, Kathy says a lot of vitamin B perhaps for your foot. So I'll let you two talk offline. We'll connect you guys up. Kathy, what's your question?
Well, she typed one here. She said, what's one takeaway for tonight that you most strongly recommend for them, or one thing to go deep on out of this webinar?
One. So the question is, what's the biggest takeaways or conclusions for tonight? New you better get your massive ass in gear to study, lifelong study, to get better health. If you do that, number one, the biggest thing that I see have an impact for people is the ALCAT, because the foods that they're eating, even when they think they're eating well, is poisoning them. Some of the foods that they think, the obvious things that's poisoning them, that's the high sugars and things like that. Everybody knows that. But what happens is you'll try and start a diet and you cut out sugar. You'll have some limited success, but some things are not going well. So anywhere between the blood type awarenesses and the blood type diet school of philosophy, looking at some of the allergens that are causing a physical reaction in your body, I take a really hard look, because this whole night started off as food is fuel. Food is the gas that you're putting in this Ferrari to make this amazing. And if you got a Volkswagen, as you well know, you never tune it. You never change its oil. You dump dirty gas in it. It chugs along. It's very reliable. But it only goes 80 miles an hour. A Ferrari goes 80 miles an hour in second gear, but it needs tuning. Babying, tender tuning, high test gas. So the question for you tonight is, do you think you are a Volkswagen and you can put any fuel in that you want? Or are you going to start wiring yourself as a Ferrari and now you go 80 miles in second gear and 240 miles is now your top end? Great question, Kathy. Thank you. What else, Brian?
That's it.
I hope you all enjoyed the call. Please give me some feedback. If there's any specific topics you're more interested in, look through the notes when they come out. I said tonight, they probably won't come out till tomorrow, maybe even. And again, you don't see my camera running live, but when you look at the
the video of this. Brian will edit the camera shots in here. Take a hard look at who you are and what you're doing. Again, if you're on this call, I know you're interested in health. I know you're already on the cutting edge. I know virtually all of you on the call anyway. It's time to really ponder what's it going to look like in 2015 software to take your game to another level. Tonight's a great start. Hope you again and your buddies are doing well. Write me, call me. Have a great night. Signing off. Take care, everybody.